choosing to lead an afternoon of songs of praise, you might assume that I have some musical ability. Well, I have to assure you, I don't. My musical talent is limited to playing the recorder, and I haven't done that for some considerable time. So we're reliant on the organist, and we're reliant, most of all, upon yourselves in singing these praises to our Heavenly Father. Our organist also has a difficulty in front of him, for you will have noticed after this morning's service that he's lost one of the notes on the organ. Maybe, and I don't think he's going to find it. However, my part is, I think, to bring together our thoughts regarding some of the words of the hymns which we're going to sing, and from the readings which we shall look at. For the writers of the hymns, and clearly the writers of Scripture, clearly point forward to the great hope for mankind centred in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're going to think about. And the first hymn that I want us to sing is that hymn 117, where we're asked to, all that is as breath within them, should praise and thank God for the lives which have been given to them. Hymn 117. Sung about in that last hymn summarizes what is revealed to us in Psalm chapter 96, which I'm going to read to you. For the psalmist there expresses the joy and the happiness which comes from what God has created and for what he has in prospect. Oh, sing a new song. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honour and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. And so this psalm not only speaks of God's wonderful creation, but also of God's purpose for that which he's created. He has a purpose in creating the earth and inhabiting it with mankind. And the psalmist was speaking prophetically. He was also speaking of a time, not just of the past, of that which God has done, but of the future, and providing hope for mankind. Those concluding words of that chapter speak of the hope which there is for mankind, in that God will judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. And early on, the psalmist was aware of what the purpose of God was, and how it would be fulfilled. And so we should thank God, not only that he created the earth and all that is therein, but he has a continuing purpose to involve mankind in that which is yet to come. And the next hymn that we're going to sing speaks of that great hope which we have. Hope for the world, the joy that will ultimately be available to mankind. For in the verse we read, in the third verse, that a child of hope is born, and through him would come this great hope for us all. And so we'll sing that hymn, "The Race That Long in Darkness Sat." Yes, a child of hope was born, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And it was made clear at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus that he had two roles to fulfill in his life. The one as a saviour and as a deliverer, and also that of being a king. Two quite distinct roles. And of course, as far as being a saviour and a deliverer was concerned, we're well aware that the Lord Jesus Christ offered his own life as a representative for the whole of mankind. And that, in offering his life in accordance with the will of God, his life was accepted as a sacrifice for sin. And that act was a very profound action on his part, and has a very profound meaning. And it is those who appreciate the life which was given and the purpose behind it who are able to enjoy and have the prospect of this hope of what the Lord Jesus is able to bring to mankind, this Christian hope. For all who believe in the work which the Lord Jesus accomplished, even though they may die, yet have the prospect before them, the great hope before them, that one day they will be raised from the dead to life eternal. And that is captured in the words which the Gospel writer John said, speaking about the love of Almighty God for his creation. For God, he said, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was the reason why the Lord Jesus was provided. God had a purpose through him of delivering mankind from death, which was the result of the sin which all mankind have inherited from our first parents. And for those who believe, the apostle also wrote that Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That was the comfort that the Lord Jesus was able to bring to Martha at that time, and is able to bring to all those who mourn. The Apostle Paul later, in writing to the Corinthians, spoke of the importance of individuals who believe being raised from the dead to enjoy the prospect of life eternal in an age which is to come. And the Apostle Paul writes in this way in 1 Corinthians 15, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so the Apostle Paul was capturing in these words the whole purpose that God had through the Lord Jesus. That as truly as God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, that is testimony to the fact that he will raise others also. That Christ is the first to rise. He was the first fruits. But all others who believe can enjoy that glorious prospect again. But where will it be enjoyed? There the Apostle Paul was saying that it will be when the Lord Jesus establishes that kingdom of God upon the earth. It is then that the dead will be raised to that eternal life, to join all others who are living at the time and who have put their trust in him. And this next hymn we're going to sing, this hymn 132, gives praise to God for the wonderful and great things which he has done for us. It's a very rousing tune to express our gratitude, and I hope that we will be able to give the hymn justice. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Hymn that we're going to sing is one that we all sang with gusto this morning. It's hymn 290, which speaks about the crowning of the Lord Jesus as King. And of course, that's what the Christian hope is all about, centered in the Lord Jesus and the time when he will return to establish God's kingdom, to rule on God's behalf over all the earth, over a universal kingdom. That time we've already seen from what the Apostle Paul wrote, that that's the time when the faithful who have died will be raised, and together there will be a period of perhaps 1,000 years during which the Lord will reign supreme. It's the fulfillment of that second role that was promised would the Lord Jesus would have, that he would be king. How sad that it was that when the Lord Jesus was crucified, they nailed that title above his cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Never to be fulfilled at that particular time. But the time is yet to come when he will indeed be crowned king not only of the Jews, but of the Gentiles also. To enjoy a citizenship in that new age, a glorious age we read. The Lord Jesus, when he came upon the earth and taught the people the message from the Almighty God, it was to proclaim the good news, the gospel concerning the kingdom of God. And that's what all Christians should be looking for, that time when the Lord Jesus will return. And he promised that to us, that he would return. And even the angels promised it to us as well, at the time of his resurrection, at the time of his ascension, when those who looked on were promised by those angels that the Lord Jesus would return again. And so in this next hymn, hymn 290, which we'll sing to the second tune, is expressed this, the fact that the Lord Jesus is descended from that royal line of David, of Israel, and that he is the true king of the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And therefore there are very good grounds that for those upon the earth to give glory to him. Hymn 290, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Oh,
Yes, we need to look for the return of the Lord Jesus. And the Apostle Paul writes, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." But of the times and the seasons, brethren, have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, and love, and of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. And so the apostle was comforting the believers at Thessalonica with those wonderful words. The prospect before mankind is for the Lord Jesus to return. And when that time comes, which will be suddenly and take many unawares, that those who are looking for the Lord Jesus will be prepared in their lives and have a strong faith and be comforted by that fact, that all the problems of this world will then be resolved under his leadership. We're going to conclude with another hymn. Before we do so, I've just a few announcements, and that is that, God willing, in this place next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, we shall have Brother Andrew Whittaker of Haywood with us to speak upon the subject, Why Read the Old Testament? Or at Chapel Lane, Salter Hairball, next Sunday again at 6 o'clock, Mr. Chris Evans of this place will be speaking upon Myths of Evolution. On Tuesday at the Bible class here at 7:45, Mr. Ralph Smith from Bradford will be visiting to speak upon salvation under the law. As for the coffee morning, which is usually held here on a Friday, this week it is cancelled due to holiday arrangements. So we will conclude with this last hymn, 438, which speaks of the priceless treasure of our Lord's work revealed to us through the Holy Scriptures, which we each are privileged to have available to us and to be able to read and meditate upon, and above all, which we are able to respond to after appreciating their worth. Hymn 438. Praise to him by whose high favour.
Jesus.
Our Heavenly Father, we come once again into your presence. We come again with thanksgiving, for we have been reminded of all that you have done for mankind and the hope which you have provided for us, all of which is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ and the work which he came to undertake on your behalf. Help us to appreciate the significance of the giving of his life. Help us to understand the hope which this provides to all believers. Help us to look forward with expectation to the time when the Lord Jesus will return, and to the time when the kingdom will be established, a kingdom of righteousness and peace. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the benefits of that time will soon be here. So hear our prayer. Go with us now as we separate, and keep us in the faith. Keep us looking purposefully to that time which is to come, and live our lives accordingly. Be with us in our endeavours to do that. For this our prayer we ask through your dear son's name. Amen.
Amen.